Okay. Thank you, by the way, Pops, for doing this for me. Okay, so I'm just gonna go ahead and start. Tell me about the business. What do you do?
Manufacture software for call centers.
Okay.
Predictive dialers, notification systems.
Okay.
Products that sales, in-house sales forces would use.
What brought the idea to do that software?
We were introduced to a product that called out and left answering machine messages.
Okay.
If people were interested in insurance or in any product.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would press a 1 if they were interested, and it would transfer right to the person, to their telephone.
Okay. Possible. Okay. So the company was started in 1999?
Right. 2000.
So it was running out of the garage and pool house of your home?
Correct.
Okay. So what are motivations that brought you or other top management to starting this company?
I was just introduced to a product that did that, and we decided this is
saw the opportunity in it.
What an opportunity.
Okay.
People would get leads for their business very, very fast and very, very cheaply. And so we started off as a service company, selling leads to other companies, like insurance companies, mortgage companies, all different types of industries.
Okay. So on top of manufacturing predictive and audit dollar shelters, you also produce leads and database.
We did.
Did them anymore. Not anymore? Okay. All right. So when you started, did you have a formal business plan prior to?
No.
No. Yeah, most businesses don't.
All it evolved over time.
Over time. So in class, of course, we learn about the entrepreneurial cycle, and so pretty much how you go from acknowledging the opportunity to exploiting that opportunity, and to how you in the future have been able to sustain that business. So I guess question to you would be, you recognize that opportunity from when you're introduced to the software, and at that time you exploited it. How specifically were you able to grow the business at a rapid rate, or?
By giving companies what they wanted. So everybody needs leads for their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so we provided a very low cost way of them being able to get leads. And we also provided software where they can do it themselves. So if they have people that are on the telephone that are calling out, this automates the process for them.
Okay.
And it dials for the agent. And so they don't have to manually call. And when it connects with a live person, it connects them, and they can talk to them. And if they're not interested, they add them to the no calls. So it just makes it a lot faster. They can call around 60, 70 calls. Each person could call around 60, 70 calls an hour with the system.
Awesome.
Compared to where they could do maybe 15,
yeah,
20.
A quarter of that.
So 3-4 times efficiency.
Right, so comparison from manual inputting into automated systems.
Correct. Takes the process and allows the agent not to get, once they log into the system, it does the work for them. And so all they're doing is they're just talking to live people. And if they're interested, then they either move them to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
Where they close the sale, or they close the sale themselves.
Awesome. So going off of that, you of course have had this company has existed now for 14 years. What have you found to be the biggest benefit, or I guess the biggest benefit that you've been able to provide the company in its continued existence?
That I have personally?
Yeah, I guess, if there's, would you say that the innovation in software, or what innovations have come or risen that have helped the continued existence of the firm?
Probably one is keeping up with the technology, making sure that we're surrounded. I'm surrounded by the right people,
mm-hmm.
right, that can help.
Mm-hmm.
On the programming side, keeping everything within the company, so we don't use We don't rely on other companies for our product.
So everything's internal.
So everything is built in house, and so we control it.
Awesome.
And then making sure that we stay up with the latest technology, and that's the hardest part for a technology company.
And so how do you find best to keep up with technology?
By seeing what the competition's doing, by reading, you know, industry specific,
mm-hmm.
what's happening, you know, what is the latest,
greatest.
You know, needs in the industry, and then broadening, you know, your customer base, keeping up with your customers, broadening the base so that you are dealing with all different industries.
Awesome. So of course this is a software manufacturing. So within this business, what are some ethical aspects that you see priority? So sales, I guess, of course, trustworthiness, honesty. What have you seen within the industry? That seems to be it. But, you know,
ethical problems with the industry.
What are ethical problems that you've seen?
Well, the industry is very, you have to adhere to no calls.
Mm.
So there's a lot of restrictions on the industry. You can't just call somebody if they're on the no calls list.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a cell phone list. You can't call people
mm-hmm.
on their cell phone
yeah.
with a dialer, right? You can only manually dial.
Mm-hmm.
So we created a product called a preview dialer that is like manually dialing. The agent clicks it, and it dials really fast. So as soon as they click it, it's ringing.
Awesome.
So that gives them the ability to call cell phones. And then we've got a system called CNI, which is a cell phone number identification system,
so
right? Which tells before it dials at the number, it will say this is a cell phone or a ported number, which is a number that's made into a cell phone,
mm-hmm.
and it won't dial it.
That's
so
very
if they want
to
dial it, they can use the preview dialing.
That's awesome. I didn't know you had that. That's
yes.
really cool.
So that's the hard part about the industry.
Is that there's always laws and regulations changing so rapidly.
It's continually changing. And, you know, the politicians use our systems, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they call out and say, vote for me.
Mm.
And the politicians are able to do that, so they don't have the same laws as the small
regular
business
businesses.
Or the regular businesses. That's what's very hard about this industry.
That's very interesting
There's a lot of companies that abuse because it's telemarketing. So what they do is they'll call, you know, the elderly and sell them, you know, really rip them off. And that gives the industry a bad name.
Yeah.
So that's why there's so many restrictions.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. So, let's see here. So, starting the company, what type of legal form did you take when it became a private company? Was it an LLC or was it sole proprietorship or how did you?
Corporation.
Corporation?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, of course, everything was started from scratch. Correct. It was you, your wife, and your brother.
Right.
Started everything.
Well,
it
started myself and
Jeff. If you could talk me through, yeah, the beginning as to who was a part of starting it, and
that was just Aaron and myself.
Aaron and you. Okay.
And then Warren came.
Okay.
Later.
And then just slowly got everyone.
And then we added people in the garage and.
Yeah, I'm putting the background and history of the company. So
yeah, so it started in the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we were told by the neighborhood that we couldn't. There's too many cars and too many people.
I remember.
Right? Because our offices were in the house and
yeah.
we had to leave. Yeah, so that's when we opened an office.
Awesome.
And then just added people until the economy changed dramatically, right?
Right. And so speaking now, I guess, since you brought that up, with the economy recession in 2007, 2008, and to now, have you seen that affect your firm?
Absolutely.
And
everybody.
What are, I guess, how have you responded to that? Or how has the firm responded to?
We try and give them the best product, the best price, stay in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being on the, when they're looking for the product.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely affected because companies, we sell to all different industries, every industry you can think of, right? And so most industries stopped buying in 2007 and 8 when all this started.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to spend money. So it didn't matter what price you gave it to them.
Yeah.
They were all, especially small businesses. And so, and they just, because of what was happening, they didn't want to spend any money.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very, very tough. It's very, very tough to run a company when there's no money coming in.
Yeah.
Right? Cash flow changes.
Definitely understand that.
So you just try and make it value. You try and give them deals. You try and, you know, get them to
provide that value proposition
to do it that day. And the difference between us and our competition is that the competition does hosted solutions. So where it's in a co-location, they hook into it and they pay on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's been a tough part too, because that's who we're competing with.
Mm-hmm.
We sell the software. That's a big difference between what we do.
Or what they do.
And our competitors. So it's just getting them to give you the dollars.
Yeah, I understand.
But this year things have been changing.
That's good.
But not to how it used to be.
Has the company ever experienced failure?
Absolutely.
Of course.
We had a product that was old product that was out, our original product, and was out too long.
Really?
And we had it on the market too long.
Really? That's interesting.
Like when you worked there.
Really?
And it took a long time to get it. Always takes longer than you think to bring a
transition
new product
to new
market.
Well, that I definitely saw.
Yeah, so it takes years. And the problem is we really needed it earlier. And that really affects you. When you don't have the features or you don't have a product that people want or that they can get somewhere else.
So it was behind.
Buy it from somebody else.
Interesting.
So that's that's a big part. It's the hardest part about technology businesses, staying up with technology.
So I would definitely say that you're proactive in responding to change and innovation in the market. As you said earlier, you try and keep up with industry changes and information and stuff that's out there as for technology changes.
Right.
That answers that question.
Right, you try, but if the product's not ready, even when you need it, you can, there's
problems. So the formal structure of the company, you have a sales department, you have tech support, you have hardware, you have shipping,
programming.
You have programming, you have it all departmentalized.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so this might be a broad question, but explain in detail, from the beginning process. So when somebody calls looking for a product, the distribution, the marketing, take me through how that works.
Sure. So the first thing is they got to find us,
mm-hmm.
right? So they might find us from Google. They're searching for a predictive dialer. Or they could have a referral, a company says, call this company because they've got a great product.
So is Google your primary marketing tool?
No, several. Not only Google. Search engines.
Search engines in general.
Okay. Search engines, a lot of referrals, a lot of current customers.
That's good.
So the first thing they do is they call. Most of our customers are all over the country, all over the world, so we don't see them. So they'll call, they talk to the sales department, and they start the process. Shortly after that, we set up a online GoToMeeting demo, right, so they can see it. So every sale that we do, most of them, we don't demonstrate in front of them. It's all GoToMeetings.
Okay.
And Warren does that, and sometimes Aaron. And then when they see it, then it goes back to the sales, and they give them pricing, and so that's kind of the process.
Okay.
When they purchase, when they actually do the purchase, then that goes to the accounting area, the invoice is created.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give them terms; they have to pay for it before they get it,
mm-hmm.
And then it goes once that's done. Whether it's credit card or wire or any form of payment, then it goes to the shipping area.
Okay.
And it's firstly configured, right? Because we've got to configure it. Could be computers, servers, software, lots of different ways people buy it. And then it gets configured, and the configuration department gets it and then gets it shipped out. And then the next step is when it gets there. So we also do a pre-site survey before it goes, make sure that they've got the bandwidth, you know, in place, because bandwidth is real important, because all the software now is SIP, which is, you don't have to use analog lines,
really,
no T1s, all that stuff. 99% of it is SIP, which stands for Session Initiation Protocol. And that is that we can just connect to the internet, we can connect to a carrier, to a long distance carrier, and the calls just get done. It's all software. So that's how it's changed. You used to have to connect to...
You need actual analog hardware lines.
Right, you don't need that anymore.
Right, so VoIP has gone away.
So it is VoIP. It's a type of VoIP.
Okay.
Okay, VoIP is...
Voice server.
Is Vonage is VoIP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and they take it and they convert it to analog.
Okay.
So that's VoIP. There's a lot of Skype.
Okay. Yeah, VoIP. Of course.
But this is called... this. The protocol is SIP.
SIP.
And that's a very high... So if they don't have the bandwidth in order to run the system, they'll have problems. They'll have packet loss, they'll have echoes, the calls won't go out right.
Mm.
Right,
okay.
and then it won't work. So we do pre-site survey. When we know they've got what's needed, then the product is shipped to them. Training is scheduled, right? Then we get onto their system, we help them load the software, and we do a full training. So it's probably 2-3 hour training to teach them how to use it. Not only do they put it on the main PC server, but they also have to put it on all the agent PCs.
For all the users?
Right. And then it's a process. And we hook in live right into their system. So we're on their system live.
That's awesome.
It's not a phone call. It's a, well, they're on the phone too, but it's both phone and we're in their
and
system.
Digitally.
So we can change things, move things. And that's how tech support is done as well.
That's awesome. So of course, all of these things are what help maintain your customer relationships, being able to hook in directly with them, having that direct contact with them, of course.
And if they have problems, we can connect right to their server, and all the products that get sold comes with a Euro tech support, updates and upgrades. It all comes with it.
Awesome. Okay, so your business is located in Addison, Texas?
Correct.
Okay. And so that location is... viable location. It's since you ship, you can ship anywhere in the world. The location
yes.
isn't really dependent
no.
upon
no.
upon
all
how well
all
the company.
All major carriers.
Okay.
You know,
pardon.
Company, whether it's FedEx and UPS and.
Awesome. So how do you or anybody in the company deal with uncertainty, whether that be uncertainty in the economy or uncertainty in, you know, the daily financials?
It's very hard. It's kind of like being a boxer. You got to bob and weave and attack.
Yeah.
You know, and every day is a different day. And when the news changes and people, you know, are nervous for that day, and you call them up and they say, you know, I want to wait a few more days. So it's like anything. It just evolves and it's a continual process. You just got to keep persistence and keep. Now the thing we have to do is keep our product going, right? We've got to make the changes. There's bugs in software.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest part. When there's a bug.
Mm-hmm.
And customers are really upset, you got to get on it really fast, and we've got, you know hundreds of people that have our product, thousands. And
yeah.
so that's the hard part too.
So what would you consider, one of those what major challenges that the company is facing right now, if any?
Sales.
Sales.
You know, our product is really getting good. Getting enough people to want to buy it. That's the hardest part after the economy's been so, you know, stops.
So what do you think is the best way to go about that? I mean, with the economy slowly getting back in gears, continual with the marketing and the search engines, or what do you think is the best?
We're using our systems to call out.
So using the software to promote the software.
Really, exactly. So
that's
we're
smart.
Using our product to call these companies and to get them you know, making making the sale.
True internalization. Marketing.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. We have a product that helps sales. One of the few.
So in turn, you're going to help your own company. That's awesome.
Yes.
That's true sustainability. That is. That's really good. All right. I think those are all the direct questions I have. As for that, is there anything you would like to say about your company?
It's a very exciting industry. It's a very, very fast-moving industry because of the laws that change. But the great part about it is that we literally help thousands of companies with their sales. We help them grow. We've got companies that have, might be doing, $200,000 of sales, and now they're doing $2 million a month. So it dramatically, our product dramatically changes companies.
Awesome.
So we have a direct impact into companies. So unlike other products they buy, like a copier, which doesn't have that same impact because they could get a copier from anybody.
Yeah, it has an indirect impact.
Right, our product literally
directly, absolutely
changes their sales.
That's awesome.
So that's a nice part when we hear how great, how they love our product.
Definitely.
And that's, we hear a lot.
That's
people
good.
Just absolutely love it.
And then you're able to promote that and market that to other
Correct.
Well, thank you very much.